This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Stephen Rue.
What's up?
Brian Malkowitz.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Destin Legarry. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the revelry. We're going to be talking about what happened with Arc Week. It's all fixed now, but some stuff went down. We're going to be talking about things done well in other games that we think Destiny could learn from. And we'll talk just briefly about the comic book that was revealed this week. So, it might be a little bit of a shorter episode. There's not a ton going on this week. Mm-hmm. You guys played today.
Yeah.
Steven, you did the Xur bounty.
I
want to talk about not what happened at the bounty, but the bounty construction itself, because I'm very frustrated
with the hive?
Fact that it requires hive on Mercury. What are you doing?
I mean, there's a mission. There's a mission.
There's one mission.
Which is fine.
And you know what? You know what's happening? Everybody's just queuing in the Tree of Probabilities over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So you get in there and you're at the end of it or you're in the middle of it and you don't get any hive. Come on.
Yeah, thankfully I got all 9 in one mission.
Yeah.
But you only got 7.
How did you get all 9
right?
in one mission?
I got 7. So my only recourse is
I know, but which adventure had all 3 of them?
No, all 9 hive.
Oh, all 9 hive. Yeah, I got all 9 hive in the bug. In the bug in the system? I think is the name
of
the mission.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's where I got all mine.
Destin got 7.
I got 7.
Well, that's annoying.
Yeah, so it's annoying. So I need 2, literally 2 drops.
You could
I have to keep going to Tree of Probabilities and probably get hive. Maybe
I see
one
what
of
you
the
did
time.
There.
Come on, this is just such a stupid thing. It was never tied to a system before. You tie it to the smallest planet with the fewest amount of enemies located on it. Don't do that. We'll talk about the quest reward later in the show, but let's actually get into the news. I was just doing it before the show. I had to get it off my chest right away. Please don't do that again, Bungie. Anyway, now that my crying is out of the way, as the commenters will say, let's talk about the revelry. The revelry is on the way next week. We're going to have a new fusion primary. It's going to be an exotic. It is called
Linear Fusion.
Arbalest.
Arbalest. And it's a linear fusion, correct. Not just regular fusion.
Yes. Sounds good to me. Are you excited about that?
For the revelry or for the fusion rifle?
Well, so they're redoing the same thing that they did in Halloween. It's all flowery now.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're going to be largely doing the same thing. You can get armor sets. You can get ornaments for the armor sets that are larger based on how many pieces of gear you have equipped or how much inaugural revelry or vernal growth armor you have equipped. I think the exotic fusion is cool. It begins April 16th, which is next week, and ends on May 7th.
So and it's available for all players, which is nice.
Yeah, not just for
so is Arc Week.
Is it?
Which we'll talk about soon. Is Arc Week available for all players? Patch notes the update. Patch notes the event. I'm really salty about Destiny this week.
I can tell.
Arc Week is really boring, and then you come up with the Xur thing. No cutscene again this week, and you tie it to an enemy faction that is literally in one adventure and then randomly generates. It's just an annoyance. Definitely not going to run it on all 3 characters. Don't tie it to a planet. That's silly.
I haven't done any of Xur bounties on my other characters, so...
But you can. One Xur nice bounties, thing that they did is you can just get them all. So
Can you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure you can just get them all at once, right?
So you don't have to like
week to week. Isn't there a bug? If you don't finish it, you can't get the second week?
Oh, that sucks.
I don't remember how it works. But anyway, that's a thing. You can catch up eventually.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it on my Titan. Revelry, lightly excited. Here's some of the stuff that I wrote down. You're going to generate more orbs. Mm-hmm. They reworked the Haunted Forest. There's five bosses to defeat. Reveler's Tonic, filled with Reveler's Essence from boss kills in the forest or other activities. The three tonics can cool down grenade, melee, or class ability. There's a new armor set with new ornaments. Eva will have five weekly bounties that award armor as a powerful drop. Essence can be turned in for rewards like enhancement cores, thankfully, ornaments, world drops. They mentioned world drops. I didn't understand the context. Ornaments will grow. We talked about that. Talked about the exotic. Bright Engrams doubled. Yay.
No, that just means you're getting two.
Yeah, you're getting more.
Well, you're getting the normal engram that you're getting for Gambit Prime's update plus
the standard stuff.
Yeah.
I actually really like what they're doing with the ornaments.
Mm-hmm. Ornaments, positive, yeah.
Because I think they grow in size depending on how much of the Revelry armor you have, which is pretty cool. They've never done anything like that before. That could be foreshadowing into something they do in the future. But the ornaments look really cool. They have like deer antlers or whatever, but
yeah, very foresty animal inspired.
Yeah. I dig the ornamentation. I still think it looks a little like Grandma's pajamas, as I've said a few times on the show. But yeah, are you guys still for it? I don't mean to bring
I'm
the whole show down.
Yeah, the thing I'm kind of excited about, like, is not for the event itself, but for like, I know we want to go into it later about like what Destiny can learn from other games.
Yeah.
But this is kind of like a step in the direction for Destiny having a mode like the Rifts in Diablo 3 or the Underground in the Division. Division 1, they don't have it 2, but we can talk about that more later when you want to get to that.
No, I mean
that point of
Revelry's on the way. It's going to have armor and a fusion, and it's a rework of the Harrowing. I don't really have much more to say about it than that. Just like with Arc Week, Arc Week came out, and it's basically it's just a patch. Nothing significant is happening. There's some arc focused bounties at Vanguard, and I think this is largely because Bungie needs a buffer between now and Season of Opulence. Which I believe Season of Opulence was developed by Vicarious Visions, correct?
I do not
know. No clue.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they mentioned their swan song coming down the road. And rumor has it that we're going to get another seasonal pass. And I think all of this is them buffering so that they can double down on Destiny 3 and make Destiny 3 a better experience.
Which is fine. If they're doing that and they're putting like 90% of their resources into making Destiny 3 a game that we all want at launch, then that's fine.
It's fine. It makes this show hard to do.
It does. Well, didn't Fireteam Chat go on a hiatus once after, like, there was just a huge...
We might do it again. Like, if it's this light, even CJ's like, nothing's... What are we going to talk about this week? CJ's actually out with his family this week, met his dad.
That's why I'm actually kind of surprised that the Revelry is as soon as it is, because what are we getting between the Revelry and...
Season of Opulence.
And Season of Opulence. I know that it's June... so this like this nothing, event dude. Ends like early May, so that we have like a month of pretty much nothing going on in Destiny.
When is Guardian Con?
That's
is
July.
That in June?
July, I think.
Is it in July?
I think it's July.
Yeah. Well, they tease the big reveal.
They tease that they're gonna they're gonna reveal something.
It'll probably be whatever the September content drop is. Mm-hmm. I doubt it'll be 3.
Yeah,
Destiny 3. I doubt it's going to be that.
We'll see. Yeah, it seems like it's
Since they're on their own now, they're not tied to like a specific time to release a game, so they can take as much time as they want.
Arc Week was briefly terrible. Xur was rewarding the PlayStation exclusives, so they locked down all the pinnacle weapons, or they locked that down. You did not get it.
I did not get the PS exclusive. What's it called? Waste Splitter? Yeah.
Yeah, but if you did, they've disabled it.
Yeah, they disabled it. You still have it.
You keep it, and then once it's available on other platforms, then you can use it.
I did not do the pinnacle weapon glitch.
Yeah, they shut down pinnacle weapons because apparently you could repeatedly acquire them and get enhancement cores. Hey, here's an idea. Instead of disabling pinnacle weapons, disable enhancement core requirements. How about that?
I saw
problem solved!
I think I saw someone with 15 stacks of 999 enhancement cores.
I'm not going to lie to you. If I had known about the glitch, which I didn't, I probably would have exploited it too.
Just when I found out it was already patched.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 is going to cycle out of rotation. Destiny 3 is going to come here, and we're still going to have enhancement cores. It is going to be the special ammo of Destiny 2. This will be the legacy of Destiny 2. Remember when special ammo boxes popped up in Destiny 1? It's just dumb. And I hope it goes away forever. Man, I am super salty this week. I hope you didn't come in for a cheery show because I'm just –
I feel like you're salty most weeks in Fireteam.
Yeah, probably. I'm really frustrated this week. It's like the enhancement core thing isn't being addressed. They're sticking with it. So great. We're going to have enhancement cores for the continuation of the life cycle of Destiny. There's still old armor sets that they're probably going to bring back in Season of Opulence. Yeah. We already saw the old raid sets sort of teased.
Yeah.
It's just like they do cool things and then they take them away and then they do a cool thing, then they take it away. And it's just, it's a frustrating loop to be stuck in. So let's talk about things that they could learn from other games that maybe they're sort of utilizing now, but could utilize better. And Brian, you had some interesting ones that I hadn't thought of.
It goes back to when Curse of Osiris was being, like, the content of Curse of Osiris was being leaked.
Yeah.
And the contents of the Infinite Forest was supposed to be like a randomly generated game mode, and it turned out to not be that at all.
So I always wanted
Destiny to have some sort of Greater Rift or Nephilim Rift system that Diablo 3 has, where it's just this infinitely grindable mode that is just loot runs. And the Division added something like that in an underground update
later on,
like a few months after the release of the game, which was awesome because it's kind of just like a mindless loot run, and you're just it's just randomly generated areas, and then you just go for loot.
That's really cool.
You know, that's something that kind
of. I feel like Destiny could definitely do something like that.
Yeah.
Like just so. Well, they sort of have it with the forges. It's not infinite.
Yeah. No. It's
you could.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. It is infinite.
It's infinite. In a certain way. But what I mean by with the way that the Division and Diablo handled it, you weren't chasing anything specific.
You're just going there, and you're just
whatever loot you get is what you get, and then you use those to just like build cool sets and things like that. So
the Division ability to swap perks is something that Destiny desperately needs. Imagine
You mean the recalibration
exactly
system that, yeah, I mean they had something like that in D1, right? I mean you didn't burn a piece of gear to add
your moats.
You burned your moats and other materials to randomly generate, which I think it might be a better system.
A roll them
maybe, I don't know.
You mean for exotics, right?
No, they had a recalibration system where you could take
Motes
of light and I think other materials
and reroll legendaries.
I would sit at the thing and
how do I not remember this?
God, what was not a Felwinter's Lash.
I wanted Timmer's Lash. I think it was the.
Oh, you mean for Iron Banner?
Yep.
It wasn't just Iron Banner guns that would.
Iron Banner.
You could reroll anything, wasn't it?
Pretty sure it was just Iron Banner, but it was awesome. And then they got rid of it.
I feel like it's another example
of adding something cool and then taking it away. We have nothing to use gunsmith materials on except for the scrapper bounties, which are. Somewhere. And
they're coming.
Which, anyway, I really, really think that having a perk type system, the way the Division 2 perk system works, for example, is like you have a talent, you have some other perks on each piece of weapon and armor, right? And what you can do is you can say, all right, well, I got a duplicate of this thing. But in Destiny, the way it would work is like instead of having primary ammo finder, ooh, I want to swap that out for special ammo finder. Right. And there is a finite number of things in the Division that you can swap out to. But basically, you can, for an expensive fee, craft gear the way that you want precisely.
Yeah. But it works the same way, I think, in Diablo, in the Division, that when you can't recalibrate multiple perks,
slots.
Right? So like if you take one perk and you recalibrate it and you consume the piece of armor that it has on there, then you can't re-roll another perk on that piece of armor.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like that's
it works the same
way. That's the slot you can re-roll, and it costs more every time you do it.
Right.
And yeah, it's an expensive thing to do, but that's how you get to gear score 515. I believe 515 is the cap right now.
I thought it was 500.
I'm like 504.
Oh, I guess I'm on that. I haven't gotten to the over the cap yet, so I don't know.
But they got a raid coming on the 25th. You know what? That's actually a great topic. Let's talk about how Well, sorry, Stephen, go ahead. Did you have any ideas from other games that Destiny could have done well?
No, actually, I don't.
Yeah.
Just transmog. Like, but there's like so many variants that you could do. Like, you could do the recalibration thing. You could do the whole take all the perks of this armor, but just make it look like a different set of armor. There's like, I don't know, there's so many different ways they can go about it. And I'm sure they're working on it behind the scenes. Like,
for Destiny 3.
Yeah, like they know we don't like...
Big changes aren't coming to Destiny 2 anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I think Destiny 2 is largely locked. We'll get like Season of Opulence. They'll have interesting events for us, I hope.
Well, there's that rumor of the next season or annual pass.
Yeah.
So, being more substantial.
I mean, what I mean by big changes...
This
has
been a problem since day one of Destiny 1. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I like the way I look, but these perks don't do anything. Or, well, back in Destiny 1, it was like, I have way too much discipline now, but I love the way I look, or I have too much intellect. I have to use this other set of armor to look the way I want, but to still have the, what was it, tier 12?
Oh, yeah, tier 12.
Tier 12. 5-5 tier.
Intellect, discipline, the other one.
It's always been a problem, and I'm sure they know about it. But that's my two cents on the whole situation.
Yeah, because my Titan looks... My Warlock is fairly okay right now, but my Titan looks... just awful, because I'm at that point where I'm like, because I got my Warlock to 700, but my Titan is still grinding up, so I just all bad. And I don't want to, you know, burn shaders or anything. They're trying to make them look somewhat uniform.
But. Yeah.
So another game, believe it or not, Anthem, I think Bungie could learn from a little bit.
Bold.
With one system in Anthem that is really, really interesting, the combo system. Being able to prime somebody with electricity and then detonate into a fire explosion.
Sure.
Now, Bungie actually has a few weapons that tried to lean into this, Maya and Maya Mini. Mm-hmm. They have
Sturm and Drang,
which are actually kind of cool. And unfortunately, I don't think they really, really went into it. A lot of DPS dealing, like the Warlock, you'll punch enemies for the damage buff. And then Titans will shoulder charge with Melting Point. So they have it, but there's no combo type system. And I think that would be really, really interesting to have some sort of electrical effect applied to bigger enemies that could then somehow be detonated or exploded. Right. I think that was one cool thing that Anthem actually did well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I would love to see Destiny utilize more because it looks like they had hints of it.
Yeah, there's definitely like little variants of it, but I this always goes back to the whole PvP and PvE thing. I wonder if it's they're incapable of doing that because of those two. Like Anthem's just strictly PvE, right? So you don't have to worry about like priming all four people on the other team with electricity, and then you throw one nade and they're all dead. Like
Division has versions of it that are light.
Yeah.
So if Division can do it and they have PvP,
yeah,
I'm sure Destiny could figure it out. Division, you know what? PvP. You know what else Division is doing? They're doing a PTR.
Remember Crucible Labs?
Yeah, I sure do.
I don't know the PvP in those
I feel like
two
I'm
games
in the
are
PTR
so different.
When
yeah. Hey, I don't know. It would definitely be a cool ass facet of the game, but I just feel like it's so hard to balance PvP and PvE in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Final thing. So this is actually a topic that. Believe it or not, Fran was texting me about. We just kind of started talking about
Francis that. Michael Mirabella III.
So this segment, just you reminded me when you said something about the raid or we were talking about Season of Opulence. But Division 2 has a very large gap in between when the raid launches and when the content launched, right?
I see where you're going with this.
I know I basically super casualed my way into the end game of Division 2, and I'm there now, and I'm like, ooh, this does a lot of interesting stuff. I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. All right, I get it. Destiny 2 does a little differently. They have this power climb and a very short window to get there to be able to compete for worlds first in the raid.
Yep.
So my question is, would you rather have a month and a half in Destiny to prepare for the raid? And I think there's a lot of listeners that would enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Or would you like a much shorter window?
Ooh.
You can only have one or the other. And we'll talk about the middle later. Like, of course, the answer is probably somewhere in between. Some shade of gray, so to speak, right? But I want to get your take on this topic at hand. So, Brian, we'll start with you. Which one would you prefer? Shorter window or longer window where you're perfecting your build before you go into the encounter?
So, a shorter window doesn't bother me. One, because I think the race to finish the raid first was a community-created necessity.
Yeah.
And it's less on Bungie. Like, they released the raid, you know, in Destiny 1, they released Vault of Glass, 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 weeks, right?
Vault of Glass, what I believe, was 2 weeks after.
2 weeks after, yeah. After it launched. And, like, and most of the time now it's been, like, 3 days. But I think that's because the community has, like, kind of, like, pushed back on that and said, hey, we want this, like, you know, we want a race. We want to figure this out first. We want to be the first one to do it. And so, like, for me, I don't mind. Like, if the raid is launched, if I have, I don't, because I don't really care about being the first one in there and figuring it out. If the raid is available 2 days after the game launches, so?
2 days?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if, it doesn't matter. If the raid is there, who
you're
cares?
Saying just put it there day one.
If it's there, okay, I don't have to go do it that day. I don't need to race to get to the cap so I can go do the raid because it's available on the directory. That doesn't change how I want to play the game.
That's interesting. Yeah, because having the windowed application of having it like a week out,
it gives people a deadline. It sets a deadline and it gives people a sense of urgency because they know something is coming.
But if it's just there, then you're just
if it's there, yeah. So either way, I wouldn't care because I'm not playing Destiny. I mean, I'm playing Destiny to get to the raid, to get to the endgame content, do that. But I want to do that on my own time and I want to enjoy the ride there. So if it's a month out, that's fine because I'm still going to do all the stuff in the meantime. If it's there day one, it's fine. It can sit there until I'm ready for it.
Definitely.
So that's my take on it. I don't care either way.
Steven, what's your thought? Because you've done the raid race.
It's very interesting.
I'm very interested to hear your perspective.
So the question you asked was either have a shorter period of window, which is usually 3 days, right? Or
no, it's like a week.
Is it
for
a
the
week?
Raid? Like the new content launches, you I get, feel like you get, a, came, you get
didn't,
one
didn't
reset.
Last Wish come out? Like,
no, so it's like you get one reset, then a few days. Last Wish was not 3 days later. If only you had
a phone.
Oh,
it was the raid layers. It was the raid layer. It was the raid layers, layers, wasn't it? I think the raid layers were
like. We got like a weekish for Last Wish, correct?
I think so.
We got one reset because I remember all the things were messed
up. That's right. Because
we got one reset, yeah. So we got like 9 days, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So that I don't have an issue with.
A lot of people had issue with that sort of windowing with Last Wish, though.
Yeah,
I couldn't get ready. It was too short.
Yes, and
we had the whole debate episode.
So here's the thing.
But I still get emails about you were mean to Andrea.
Here's the thing. Division 2's raid is coming out, what, a month after?
More than that, right?
It's the 25th, so Division launched in February.
So we're nearing, it'll be near May.
Okay, so let's just say a month and a half or ish. If you gave Destiny players, the players that actually did care about the raid and completing it day one, if you gave those kind of Destiny players a month and a half, everyone would be max light by then. If they were diligent and they played every day for like 3 hours and made sure they did all their milestones, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone will be max light. And then the argument there is everyone's on an even playing field. You don't have to worry about DPS scaling because you're light. And it's like a more balanced race to the first, right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that argument. But at the same time, when you have a raid that comes out that the same week of or just a week after a DLC comes out, I feel like in a sense you're still riding that hype wave and it feels more exciting that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound elitist, but to those people, and some people just don't have the time to grind for a week and no life the game. But the people who do no life the game, they're not getting in the top five of every raid race consistently because they had time to no life the game. They're just amazing players.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch GLaAD and Giggs and Ninji and some of those players play, they do insane things. Their mind works in a way where like 99% of Destiny players, their mind does not work that way. They're efficient in DPS shots. They never miss their black spindle shots or
I miss them
whisper
quite often.
Shots. Like, they're super efficient. You never have to tell. Like, you watch them play, they say, like, minimal things, and everyone knows where exactly where they're supposed to be. They're just on a different skill ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But because, and I feel like this is a culture thing, when you see something that you can't do and you point to a different scapegoat, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that guy's only good at basketball because he's 6'5". Well, not only that.
No way it could be because you didn't practice for 5 years.
There's no way. Like, sure, he's 6'5", but there's no way that him waking up at 5 a.m. every day and practicing, putting in the work. Exactly. Those players are on a different level. And even if you had a month to prepare and you guys were on the same level, those guys are still going to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of I like the world's first race. If it was available day one and you could just enter no matter what and there wasn't like a starting point, you lose that world's first race. And I think that's a very big part of the Destiny community. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for the whole 1 week windowing thing.
If I choose to spend time with my girlfriend, that's my problem.
Exactly. Like, right. Like, you weren't in the top 10, but you were in the top 5 of getting to Riven, right?
Oh yeah. We were in the top 5, 10 to get to Riven.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool to be there for those.
Yeah,
moments.
That's a really cool moment, and I don't think Bungie should ever get rid of that.
2402.
Like when they solved the puzzle in the raid in D1, I was there in that moment, and that was really cool.
Here's the thing,
be part of those things.
Datto didn't get the first 24 hours. He got 2402, mm-hmm. but it's like you see his videos. He puts in so much time and effort, and the way he thinks is on a different level than most Destiny players. The players who are complaining about it. Like, oh, I don't have enough time to grind because I have a work job, blah, blah, blah. Let's be honest. You probably are not on that level regardless, you know? So.
What would Sean say?
Sean was on the get good side, yeah?
You would say
she'd be on the get good side, yeah, for
you
sure.
You either have it or you don't, you know?
That phrasing get good is about, hey, are you going to put in the time? Do you have the wherewithal to put in the time necessary to be able to compete? No, that's okay.
Yeah.
You can just do it at your own leisure. But there are people out there that are willing to do that or have the luxury to be able to do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
Yeah, no, I don't agree. And especially with Last Wish.
What was the light level require?
If I recall correctly.
Start at like 650, right?
I think it was 570.
It was recommended 580, I think.
Yeah, because
I might be wrong.
I think because the last encounters were 590.
Well, we went in the 520s to 40s, I think.
Yeah, and you're like,
I remember your team was around 540 to 550. But here's the thing,
Teddy was in the 30s. Some of the guys
might have been lower, but
some of the guys were lower.
Which is weird because Teddy is always like,
but he only has one character. But here's the thing. That raid, the thing I really liked about The Last Wish, it didn't feel more of a DPS thing. Sure, like if you were higher, you could survive another sniper shot or you could do more DPS. But that raid felt like even if you were at like 540 to 550 at the end, as long as you perfected and executed flawlessly, you could have still done it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved Last Wish.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the whole debate the internet's having about Sekiro. Like, yes, it's a hard game, but as long as you understand the combos and the counters and all that, you can perfect it and do it, right?
That debate morphed into something absolutely different than what
you've
the comment,
nothing.
I think, is absolutely about.
And here's another thing, going back to the skill level of players like GLaDD and Datto and stuff like that. If you handicapped them and made them 540 for that last encounter, they could still do it.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Whereas players who couldn't do it at 540, they would point to that as the reason that they couldn't do it. But those players, they could still do it at 540. Mm-hmm.
So here's my take, and I think my answer might surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
Give everybody a month and a half. Sure. Take the longer window.
Do you want everyone
I
to
do.
Have a month and
But
half?
You know what? I want the raid to be as difficult at 700, for example,
you
as it was for me.
You want the raid more difficult.
At 540. I want a level of precision to be required for the raid because now what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have the time. All right.
You had a month and a half.
That's taken away. You no longer have that excuse. You had a month and a half to get ready for this. Now go in and have that level of difficulty available to all players and let everybody compete. Sure. Guess what? People aren't going to finish it and there will be another scapegoat. Oh, I'm not tall enough.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a risk of player drop off by
That's the other thing.
Yep.
When you have a big DLC come out in Destiny, and if you don't have a raid, and people know that a raid is attached to that DLC, they're expecting that raid within a week or two.
Right.
If you wait until a month, I feel like the hype level for that raid would die down substantially.
That's honestly, because to be honest with you, that's how I'm feeling about Division.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten to World Tier 5 in the Division 2, and I haven't gotten to max level, and I'm assuming that the raid is going to be up there, you know, around 500.
Yeah.
And like,
you're not 500 yet?
I'm not 500 yet.
I mean, you could hop in with me now and I can just dump gear to you.
Yeah, you could. For sure. But the problem is I'm, you know, I started out here with the vision and now I'm just tapering off in my level
that's,
of care.
That's the thing.
So and if like, the raid was available.
Destiny does this really special thing when they do come out with big DLCs like Forsaken and Taken King. There's that, there's like that rush to grind and hit that raid. The problem with Destiny is what happens after that. That's where people start.
That's where people start. Well, people start to complain about the lack of content because everybody's burned through it in the first week.
It's a large reason why I'm so frustrated about the Revelry and Arc Week. And it's just kind of like, I want to celebrate Destiny, and these aren't giving me compelling reasons to celebrate Destiny.
But that first week or two is so special. That's one of my favorite moments, like time windows of Destiny.
Yeah.
But you do come up with a good point. If you gave everyone the time to get to max light and everyone was on the same light level for a raid, that raid has to be difficult.
Yep.
Right? Like it, like here's the thing. People can do Last Wish in like 15 minutes now because you don't have to worry about dying or you can just mow through light level. But my in my opinion, the best raids in Destiny are the ones where you don't really focus on DPS. Like you do have to do efficient DPS, but they're more about executing.
Yep.
For instance, Crota. People couldn't do it unless you hit 31, I believe, right? Like you had to have someone one above. Because I remember
what do you mean?
Light level 31.
The person with the sword had to be light level 31.
Right. Because everyone couldn't DPS.
When Crota came out was 32, right?
It was 32, but
I feel like if someone's 31, that's
the majority of people went in on 30. I remember the world's first team had a team of six. And a person who was on standby.
Yeah.
The person on standby, instead of doing the raid, was grinding, got to 31, and they switched him out. And he was a sword bearer, and that's how they did it. I remember reading that interview.
It was like 21 or whatever. It was the one light level up.
Yeah, that one light level up made that much of a difference in DPS. Those raids, they're not I don't think that's good raid design. What's good raid design is like Riven. Like you gotta do enough DPS to do it in four phases, but you also have to worry about the eyes. You have to worry about
once you got cluster bombs.
Yeah, cluster. Yeah.
Well, that was later.
Like those, when you have to do the optimal DPS and mechanics, those are my favorite raids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You guys remember when Destiny used to drop content and they would only raise the light by two?
Destiny's gone through a lot of different iterations. A lot of different iterations of leveling.
I think they have some fine tuning. You know what? I came in super salty, but talking about the raid again, man, just reminded me about why I love Destiny.
Yeah.
As many bad things and frustrating things of Destiny there are so many things like that secret sauce that Destiny always has that no other game has even come close to.
That reminded me of what you just said like earlier when you were saying like the first 2 weeks of a content drop in Destiny are like
it's my favorite part of any video game.
Because I remember like when Forsaken dropped, like you were like in awe in a lot of times. I would sit back and watch it and you're just like, dude, the Dreaming City is amazing.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of any
video game. That was my mouse and keyboard invitation. Anyways, so that feeling right there is what worries me about the fact that we're probably not getting a big content drop in September and we're getting a new season pass.
Yeah.
Because when a season pass content drops, it's not like this cool new thing that we're doing. It's just here's this new activity that you're probably going to be doing. But we don't get this big content drop where we have like this week and a half of just like innocence and where everything is new and we're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What are we working towards right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you get none of that with Black Armory, with Gambit Prime.
I think my three favorite, like, I guess the word is feelings of Destiny that it's ever given me is the first time I saw someone wear an exotic that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Because there were no data miners then.
And that was
amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the first time I went into Vault thinking this is just a long strike. And then once I realized what was happening, I was like, dude, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. And the Dreaming City. The Dreaming City is honestly one of the coolest things I think Bungie's ever done.
The way it opens up.
The way it opens up, but like,
not just that, but just the curse cycle.
But it's the whole, it's the whole curse cycle.
All the secrets in there.
It's a whole another destination that could serve as its own like little DLC, and you can only get there after you beat everything else. It's kind of like what Division does with the, what's it called, Black Husks or whatever.
The end game
drastically changes, and it's a big size of content, right, once you get to the end game.
Well, it's 6 hours if you just
That's
basically
pretty impressive.
Basically what happens in Division is you have your world, you clear out all the main bad guys, but then the big bads show up, and they're like, we're taking it all back over.
Yeah.
You got to kill us now, and they have interesting new archetypes that you have to fight against, like Robot Nog.
I think that's
gadgets.
I think that's a really cool way to do an endgame.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And then as you clear out each section, that's how you get to world tier
one. That's how I felt. That right there is how I felt when the Taken King dropped. And
your water's terrifying me the whole show.
When the Taken King dropped and like the Taken just invade the solar system.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Like that same feeling like when the Blast Tusk comes in. It's like they just take over everything and everything changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess to harp on your earlier topic about what could Destiny do that other games do, when the beta first came out of Destiny 1, do you remember we could patrol EDZ and there were the patrol missions that you could do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go scan this, clear things out. Yeah. And then every time you finished it, it would like there would be dialogue like, oh, okay, sending these back to the tower, sending this back to I-Corps. This is really going to help us out. When I first played the beta and I heard that, I would always go back to the tower and be like, okay, where's all the crap that I did? Like,
yeah.
And I would always be like, and then it after a couple hours.
Oh, they lied to me.
Yeah, after a couple hours in, I'd be like, oh, I'm just getting XP points. This isn't actually helping the tower. But in Division, it actually drastically affects and opens up parts of your home base, and you can see like supply envoys on the map.
So you're
and
talking
all
about
too,
like
right?
the tower being having some sort of base building mechanic.
Yeah, in Destiny 3, I would love for whatever you do in the open world to actually affect your home base. Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, like you get somebody's like, "Hey, here's a bunch of glimmer."
Yeah, like there's a bunch of side missions, and like you do a bunch of side missions.
Here's
for
some
like,
enhancement cores for all your help.
Basically, what we've always wanted. We want Destiny to like go full RPG.
If you're supposed to be the guardian of
thanks
the last...
for helping out. You can spend your gun materials to buy bounties and go do more
if
stuff.
If you're supposed to be the guardian of the last city on Earth and you go out into the universe and kill baddies or do things for missions, I want that to be reflected on the last city Earth.
For sure. So there was a comic release this week. It was sort of stealth released. It's just a story of Cade, basically.
I don't know anything.
There's some
about
stuff
that.
In there.
I haven't heard
basically,
about this.
Somebody on Twitter did tweet at me. Thank you very much. And they said there was a Siva-based character there who was an outcast. So it was sort of interesting to see Siva reintroduced. Remember Siva?
Yeah.
How it was there, and now it's not mentioned ever again.
Well, that's
there's some.
Like, I think that's the reason why we're not allowed in the EDZ, right?
Yeah,
because quarantined.
I would
not
love
EDC,
it.
No, sorry, the Cosmodrome.
Yeah, I would love it if they explored that, except for in that one mission where we are allowed in the EDZ.
But there's a story behind that. Like Amanda Holiday, I think, is like breaks the quarantine and like sneaks you in there or something.
Yeah. Bro, I killed them all. I killed them all. With Destiny, I'll kill them again.
Yeah.
And then Steve, the Zur bounty.
The Zur bounty.
What happened this week?
Okay, so there's a cutscene. So here's
not a cutscene.
It's a standard. You go, you do the quest, and then you go and listen.
You listen to somebody talk,
dude. It's tough understanding what they're saying.
Yeah,
is that just me?
No, they had the audio separated left like and right. Steven and I were trying to listen at the same time.
Like the nine.
And then I'm all salty.
It's tough.
I'm all salt. Well, he was doing capture.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
If, for people who don't know, when you capture video for the internet consumption, you're not supposed to have subtitles on.
It's a
it
sin.
Looks cleaner.
Yeah.
But I had to like listen to it a bunch of times over and over again. And I might be wrong, but it's weird because so my character's a female and they were talking about they kept saying she and her. And I couldn't tell if they were talking about the queen or they were talking about me. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting because I think the nine, they ask, what does she want? Mm-hmm. So initially I was like, oh, they're talking about the queen again. But then the emissary says power. And right when she says power, you get the loot drop.
Yeah.
So I was like,
it's
oh,
like the
wait,
first thing she says, she talking, what does she want? Power.
Yeah. So
and
I was
then the
like,
loot drops.
Are they talking about me as the guardian? And then the nine says, like, I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And then the emissary keeps saying, like, she's the most powerful being like that you can't understand. And then she says something cheeky. She says, she's so powerful, she could leave the game altogether. And I was like, does that like literally mean like, is that breaking the third wall? Like turn off the game? Is that what they're talking about?
Go outside, everybody.
Go
outside. Do something.
It's Bungie hinting. Like, please go do something else while we make Destiny 3, please.
And then the nine keeps saying, I don't understand. I don't understand. So I was like, so it's either I missed something about the queen or they're like talking about me as the guardian or us as the guardian. And when they said like she could literally leave the game if she wanted to, I was like, oh, I could leave the game if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What if it's all just a game?
It's a simulation.
You're
none
actually
it's real.
In a simulation. Yeah, you're actually in a tree of probabilities where Hive actually spawned.
We never left the forest.
And I do think they were talking about us because on the Zur bounty itself, it's the text is like, and you, or something like that, in caps.
Yeah,
we're talking about you as an us. So
maybe the
cutscene
is
interesting.
Your life,
dude. Where are the cutscenes? I want a cutscene.
Yeah, I thought.
What are we? Are we wave five in?
We are.
They said there's more cutscenes.
One, two. I think we're five.
That should be the fifth one, right? Yeah. So if that's the fifth one, I don't. I have a feeling that
this is
the last one is the only other one with a cutscene, or maybe the one before the last.
The last one's like a half an hour long cutscene. Then
I'm all for it.
I wouldn't expect much for it, though, considering the nature of this.
Yeah. What am I? All right, all right, all right. Good job, Guardian. Cutscene ends.
It's just reused cutscene of him just
and then it's him
around.
In the tower just standing doing the canned animations talking to you.
And then the prince comes in and
you'll get another really salty Destin episode if that's what it is. But I think they have something special.
So a normal episode of Fireteam Chat.
Yes, exactly. I think that's everything we really had to talk about this week. Except for one thing.
Yeah. I guess so
oh.
This potentially might be my last episode. Depending on if we film next week. So either this will be my last episode, but I do think we're going to film early next week, hopefully. So that will be my last episode. But this is just a heads up.
He's not leaving IGN.
I'm not leaving IGN, but I am leaving this side of IGN, the content side, if you will, going into a different side of IGN. But I will no longer be in San Francisco, so which makes doing FTC in San Francisco impossible.
Yeah.
So I don't think this will be the last episode. I think next week might be the last episode, but I'm sure I'll be in SF on a Friday eventually and we could do another one. But it was a pleasure working with you guys.
Yeah, dude, you've been an amazing addition not only to the content team.
Thank you. I appreciate
our team.
Yeah.
But this, also the show.
Yeah.
It's been great.
The show's actually like one of my favorite things about my job. And no, our job is not just FTC.
No, it's – this is like –
1%
less than 5% of what we do.
Less than 5% of what we do. But yeah, this dude talking about a game that we love that we've been playing for 5 years. I've literally met everyone on the show because of Destiny. Mm-hmm. I literally am in IGN because of Destiny somehow. So that's awesome. And shout out to anyone at Bungie who watches our show. You guys created something amazing. I know it sounds like we hate this game sometimes, but this game
we wouldn't have the show if we hated it.
This game has literally changed our lives for better, and I will always forever hold Destiny special to my heart. So I appreciate that
for sure. Hopefully we can record a little early next week. We don't miss anything big, or maybe we'll just like do a little segment today.
Yeah,
just it'll just be us hugging Steven.
Well, we can do early because we have the revelry, thoughts, and
we'll be able to talk about stuff the revelry. Like
that, yeah, so it'll be us doing HR violations such as hugging.
CJ will be right here somewhere.
Will he?
Yeah, he'll be here.
No, he'll be right there in between you two. He always sits right there.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you for everything, Steven. And of course,
thank you.
You're welcome back. It's just the whole thing with being in LA. But you're going to be up here again for projects.
This is not goodbye. It's a long hiatus.
Yeah.
We'll see how long you hate it up there, and then we'll see when you come back.
We'll see.
For sure. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
I need you to save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.